Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman.
This is Jennifer Hellman. I thank you very much for tuning in and listening to AIR. Tonight's show is a recorded interview with channel Michelle Eloff from Johannesburg, South Africa. Michelle is the director and founder of New Waver, Light Waver, and Light Waver Children Fund. Michelle is a professional trans voice channel who has been working in the capacity of on a full-time basis since 1996. During the duration of 2005 into 2010, Michelle is focusing on conducting channeled initiations and a new paradigm, ascension teaching, with Michelle with Master Kusumi and a member of Ascending Masters and Goddesses. Her website is the lightweaver.co.za. She's very excited about the new activations happening right now. We are talking about the 27 keys of ascension and the 54 Kalluni chakra activations. Welcome, Michelle, and thank you very much for being on AIR. This is really an exciting time for humanity, isn't it? Michelle! Hello, everyone. We're having some technical difficulties with Michelle since this is a live feed to South Africa. So basically what's going on is the 27 keys of ascension are really activating some new different ways of experiencing a new world of expression for today's society and humanity. Many people, many light workers are feeling a lot of shifting energy, and this is what's basically going on. We are actually dying and being reborn without actually leaving the physical plane. Michelle has been doing some work to help with the initiation and the ascension being activated in each of us. She has very powerful channels that you can download and listen to, or you can even get the transcript and read it. And even reading these transcripts will get the activation started. They're very powerful. It is amazing what this woman can do. It has been very life-changing for me, and I'm very excited that the ascensions are happening now. A lot of the symptoms is you're basically feeling like just getting rid of everything. You're just letting go of everything that was in your past. And with the ascensions and the activations that are going on, basically that's what you need to do. You need to let go of the past. Make a choice that you're going to let go of those wounds that have been happening, that have happened in the past, and start on with a whole new life. The new life will be a much better place, much magical. It is a very breath of new air. And understand that it's not always easy. And with these ascensions and with these activations, you do have the support by the universe to get through this. I myself have literally had dreams of death and knowing that I'm releasing everything that has been holding me back in the last, 40-some years. All the lessons that I've learned, all the things that have happened that I've learned and gained wisdom are now being activated in such a way that I don't have to hold on to all the wounds and all the hard parts of the lessons. The memories that are just dragging me down, I'm able now to let this go and just move forward. It's really a magical time, and I really am just so impressed with all the people that are willing to make this choice and step into the new paradigm. With this, we're going to be literally having a new pure sense of love and a new realization of what our life can truly be. Truly, we are coming into a place that we make our choices, and it's even going to be instant manifestation, beyond that. It is a wonderful time. And with Michelle's channels, with Masa Kasumi, you will feel the energy of Lady Air. Tonight's show is a recorded interview with channel Michelle Eloff from Johannesburg, South Africa. Michelle is the director and founder of Light Weaver and the Light Weaver Children's Fund. Michelle is a professional trans voice channel who's been working in the capacity full-time since 1996. During the duration of 2010, Michelle is focusing on conducting channel initiation and new paradigm ascension teachings with Master Kasumi and other many other ascending masters and goddesses. Her website is thelightweaver.co.za. Michelle, it's wonderful to have you on the show, and really an exciting time for humanity right now.
Thank you, Jim. It's wonderful to be on your show.
So right now, the thing that you're really excited about in conversations is the 27 Keys of Ascension and the 54 Kundalini chakra activations going on right now.
That's right,
Jim. Can you briefly just say a little bit about that? What's going on?
Sure. The 27 keys are basically helping humanity, or actually any willing soul, to open to a whole new powerful level of healing within themselves. The healing itself is very deep in the sense that it's urging people to look really deep inside of themselves, as opposed to looking for external sources of fulfillment, external sources to bring realization, awakening, and of course feeling back to themselves and back to life. And the way I have experienced the 27 keys myself has been through in my personal journey of having to understand what it is inside of myself that is lacking. That wasn't entirely a very easy journey. But at the end of the day, I feel it is the journey that all of us are being led to follow. When we understand or at least get an idea of what's lacking inside of ourselves, then we are pointed in the right direction. At least we know what it is we need to be focusing on and where inside of ourselves to look and begin focusing on attracting what it is that we need to bring about that healing. The other thing that is so exciting about the 27 keys is that it's bringing another level of promise to humanity. And the promise that I see Spirit is offering us at this time is the promise of true love or pure love, but not limited to love in terms of a romantic relationship, but actually beginning with the love of self. That has brought immense clarity to myself and to quite a few people that I've been helping with this particular modality already. And the reason why it is so powerful is because you begin to truly realize that when you can love yourself completely, then there is nothing outside of you that can ever hurt you, because you're not extending yourself outside of the self for acknowledgement, for support, for anything that is lacking inside of you. You are learning how to give it to yourself. Then you're in a position to make a very powerful choice, and that choice is basically to share your life with another person, to share your life with a whole lot of people in your community, wherever it may be. But the thing is, you're coming from a point of power. You're not coming from a point of need or feeling victim to the wounds of your past. Kutumi has often said something which I have found very profound, and that is we tend to attract to ourselves the people that reflect our wounds, but now we're in the position to attract the people who reflect our light. That means that we need to focus on that light inside of us as opposed to focusing on what our wounds are and all the negative things that have happened in our past. So what that leads to is creating a completely new template from which to build our lives. And that is why I'm finding this so exciting, because people are beginning to realize that it does definitely all boil down to focusing on yourself and recognizing what our needs are and then doing everything in our power to fulfill those needs ourselves, not expecting someone else to be the substance that will fill the emptiness inside of us.
So basically right now, if you're lacking money, for instance, you need to really go within yourself to find out why you're lacking money. What about it? I'm not quite understanding that part of it. I mean, if you're...
As far as I understand it to be, anything that is lacking in our life reflects back to a belief system inside of ourselves that somehow we don't deserve to have all areas of our life fulfilled.
Right.
Now, lack is also... a reflection of subconscious belief systems, and of course how we've been raised, and the majority of us have been exposed to lack and limitation, and we've been programmed with the belief that we don't deserve to live our lives abundantly. And I think one of the most debilitating belief systems that we've been programmed with is that belief that money is the root of all evil, and that to have a lot of money is somehow a bad thing, and to suffer is noble, and that earns you a ticket past the pearly gates. I feel, and I've also had to understand inside of myself why we created those kinds of patterns, because it was something I needed to overcome myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that for me specifically, and maybe this will help some of the listeners, is that I was, first of all, feeling guilty if I did attract a lot of money to myself, because perhaps other people that I cared for around me was not manifesting what I was able to manifest. So in order for me not to feel bad about my situation, I would automatically step down to the level that they were in. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory fashion, but rather that I would then go back to the lower frequency of the outdated belief system that lack is somehow noble.
Right.
The other thing was I felt very awkward about manifesting abundance in whatever form it was, especially if my parents were having a hard time manifesting what they needed. So I realized there was a lot of guilt around manifesting my needs as met, and somehow... I felt more comfortable when I was suffering along with everyone else, because then it was the norm. That was the accepted way. As bizarre as it may sound, but we often do that. The other thing that I have realized as well is that we build identities around lack, suffering, illness, deprivation, all those kinds of things. And when there's an opportunity to create something different. We don't have the means to relate to it. There is nothing that we can compare it to. So automatically the lower ego tanks because it's unfamiliar territory. So what happens is the ego needs to find something that it's comfortable with. So what happens is, a classic example would be someone wins the lottery and they have millions of dollars and in a couple of months it's all been squandered. The reason why that happens is because the lower ego doesn't know what to do with it and needs to find that comfort zone, that familiar ground again. That's just one example of it. Other examples would be the person having a windfall and suddenly things go wrong and that money is gone faster than it came in. So, you know, that's basically from my perspective and what I've observed happening in my own life and in the lives of people that I work with. So, does that answer your question?
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, if we can't handle the opportunity to handle the abundance that the universe is so graciously offering us, how can we get out of that? How can we develop so we can relate to handling money in a more responsible way without saying, well, we can't do this, so we have to throw it away? Do you have any suggestions on ways to overcome that? Or is that what some of the 27 keys are helping us with, to recognize that we have this guilt, we have this lower energy that has been pulling us down, that it's not really where we want to be? Is the 27 keys helping us recognize it so we can say, no, I don't need to go there. I can leave that behind because I am who I am. I'm going to attract the things that I truly deserve and worthy of. And therefore, if other people, by example, the other people might raise up because I am, is that a possibility?
Jean, you know, that is definitely a possibility. I feel where we need to start, though, is obviously with ourselves.
Definitely.
And begin identifying what the limiting belief systems are. A helpful way to do that is to reflect on what the programming was in our childhood, what the repetitive patterns were, how we observed our parents manifesting abundance for themselves or not, how our parents dealt with financial challenges, how we were treated when we were asked, when we asked for something. All of those things are key components in relation to what our belief systems are about money. And money is related directly to our self-worth.
Okay.
So if there's any level of our self-worth that is dysfunctional or doesn't feel complete in itself, then there is going to be an issue around finances. Now, the first 7 years of our life set the stage for the rest of our life. And generally speaking, at the age of 4 years old, we establish our self-worth based on our observation, our father specifically, and how he dealt with money. Now, if there wasn't a father, or the child, or the person was orphaned, something like that, then that is missing. There's an absent space in their life. So that is another aspect that needs to be addressed. And somehow finding whatever it is that will fill that gap for the person, that might be through the form of creativity. It can be, I mean, any kind of creativity, which will help the person to establish what their self-worth was. The other thing that we need to also look at is why, over and above our belief systems, why we still believe as adults that we are undeserving. Usually what happens is people then begin to ask those very important questions. who am I? What am I doing here? Why is my life the way it is? And those are all very empowering questions, because then we begin to see exactly what it is that we are attracting into our life based on those programs that we adopted during the first 7 years of life. My suggestion is that each person writes down everything that they want in their life right now, be it healing, be it a partner, a change in career, a different home, whatever the case is. And once they've written everything down, to then write down all the reasons why they believe or feel or think they have not manifested it already, or why they don't feel, think, or believe they ever will be able to manifest it in the future. And those answers are very powerful clues to where the roots of those outdated belief systems lie. Now, the 27 keys are 9 pathways. And what they do is you've got 9 pathways which focus on our masculine self, another 9 that focus on the feminine self, and then the remaining 9 which is connected to the inner child. And each of these pathways, you could call them a 3-layered process, assists you in addressing those belief systems from the male perspective inside of you, which would have been programmed by your father or any other male figure in your life, bearing in mind that sometimes the mother or a female figure can represent the masculine archetype, because the mother was perhaps the controlling figure in the relationship. One then needs to look at one's perspectives relating to those belief systems from one's feminine self, which would have been influenced by the mother or by the father if he was the softer of the two, and then also looking at one's attitude towards life and one's belief systems from the child's perspective. And by looking at one's life from all 3 perspectives, you begin to see that every aspect of ourselves has a different opinion on our life. It is perceived from a different direction. And you will also begin to realize how numb our senses have become, because we have become so accustomed to living off of programs rather than our own sense of the world. So what the 54 Kundalini chakras do is reconnect us with all of our senses. And this leads on to another aspect of this body of work, which I am so excited about, which is what is being referred to as quantum tantra. A lot of people understand tantra to be purely a sexual modality or a practice associated just with sex. That, however, is very far from the truth, because in my understanding of tantra, as the masters and the goddesses have shown it to me, is that it's the process of growing in love. It's rising above our life within the power of love, and that begins with the love of self. The other thing is that it's focusing on bringing our senses back to life. So utilizing all 5 of our senses, but strengthening the 5 senses of the human self, which automatically makes our 6th sense stronger, because through the 5 human senses, our 6th sense becomes a stronger part of us, because those 5 senses are tools that our 6th sense would use to communicate to us. So, Jen, it's not just about, I would say, finding one single thing to do right now to change the situation tomorrow. It's an ongoing process, and it's the process of saying yes to oneself, as opposed to saying yes to everything outside of ourselves that we have become accustomed to controlling our lives. And very often we give our power away to an external force because we need to be acknowledged and loved and respected by the outside source. And we make the mistake of giving our power away to that external source to feel good about ourselves, whereas at the end of the day, we actually end up feeling worse because what we've done is that we have sold ourselves. We've sold our soul. And instead of honoring the needs inside of ourselves and that voice inside of us that is asking us to be true to ourselves, we're ignoring it. So the first step is to shut the rest of the world off, to minimize the distractions as much as we can, and begin listening to what that inner need is. And sometimes that inner need may say, well, I don't want, there's certain people in my life that I don't want to see for a while, or I don't want to interact with for a very long while. And that does result in conflict arising, because the people that begin to say no to don't understand why. And that's normal, and there's nothing wrong with that. However, somehow finding the words to explain to the person or to the people that it is time that you need for yourself. And in order for them to understand where you are at, they need to love you enough, to trust you enough to do this for yourself. And there are occasions where, one needs to just set that very firm boundary and step away for a while. And through my own experience as well, I have seen that withdrawing is sometimes the only thing that you can do initially, not for the whole time, but initially. And then when you come back out of that space, almost like the butterfly breaking out of the chrysalis, the people can see, my gosh, she's different. Something's happened here. And that light, that newfound inner strength shines through so powerfully that you don't need to justify yourself anymore, because it's evident. Do you understand?
Oh, I totally understand. And been through the process in some ways when I really first reawoken myself up, and it scared people, and people, at least for me, tried to pigeonhole me back to the way they were because they didn't understand. Even though they saw this brilliant light, they saw me really living the way I truly wanted to, it made them feel so uncomfortable that they tried to push me back. So what do you suggest for those people who really just can't handle the change within you? Do you say just walk away from those people then?
Jen, the most important thing is that whatever we're doing, that we are doing it from the point of love. The intention is always love.
Yes.
And like I said, it's also about ourselves, and that is the most important focus right now. So it's about persistence as well, I would imagine, and maintaining that consistent boundary and reaffirming all the time that this is what your plan of action is, this is what intention is, and you need that to be honored and you need that to be respected. And maybe then saying to these people, this is so important to me that if I have to withdraw myself from all of you for a period of time and not let you know where I am, then I'm going to do that because I need you to understand how serious I am about doing this myself. And usually they tend to get the message and they will back off. But never to, not to say never, because we are all human and it's not always easy, but to try our best to come from an attitude of love for ourselves and getting the other people to try and understand where we come from. But to be firm with it so that they can understand you mean business.
Yes. So this time afterwards, things will be there's definitely going to be a huge shift for many people, and energetically around this planet is going to help raise the vibration of this planet to a different place. Do you feel that with all the energy shifting that's going on, do you feel that overall that humanity is going to be in a place to really understand everything that's going on, or do you see some kind of division happening with some people really getting it and going to ascension and other people just not getting a clue of what's going on? Or do you see everybody just, because of the power of we're all connected, everybody being ascended to a different level, a different place?
Jane, this is purely my perspective on it, based on what my experience has been, and the information I have received from the masters, and I see a division. At this stage, where things are at now, not everybody is ready to make that shift. We are, 6.2 billion, I think it's the number is at now, 6.2 billion souls on the planet, and it's different levels of consciousness that are experiencing life simultaneously. Now, everybody is being given the opportunity to step into the new vibrations, into the new paradigm of consciousness, but not everybody is ready to make that shift, simply because their fear-based programming is just too overwhelming. However, having said that, Mother Earth as a consciousness is more than ready for this change. So she is going ahead and doing whatever she needs to do to bring her body into balance. And that means everybody that's a part of her balance, a part of her body, is going to have to choose between living their life in a balanced fashion or experiencing the havoc of living in imbalance. We can see it all over the world at the moment. I mean, global warming is just one example of it. In South Africa at the moment, we are having a huge problem with the shortage of power, and businesses are losing huge amounts of money because they're just cutting our power off for hours on end during the day. However, it's very good because it's forcing people to look at alternative ways of powering life. And if we look at it, figuratively speaking, or metaphorically speaking, and literally everything is now being focused on to make those changes. So the people who are ready to step up and take control of their lives and take responsibility for running their lives will then certainly understand what all the new energies and the new consciousness is offering them. But there are a lot of people that still don't see that. Now, that's not to say that they're not going to make it. I mean, we've still got 4 years left to make that shift, and more people are waking up, and I've been very surprised by certain people in my own life that I've seen suddenly wake up, which I would have never dreamt in a month of Sundays, which have gotten the insights that they have. So I don't want to say that there's no hope for those people, because there is. There always is hope. But at this particular stage, I don't see everybody making the transition into the new paradigms. And but we've all got something extremely valuable to learn from all these changes, and some things even more valuable to share with the people around us. So at the end of the day, no one is going to lose out because there is a tremendous amount of gifts to gain from what is being presented to us in every area of life, regardless of the level of our consciousness and awareness.
Now, speaking, I'm getting a feeling that it's the older generations that some of people are really getting an understanding and waking up. And I'm wondering, what about the children that are now coming in? Are they already activated with the new paradigm, or do they have to slowly integrate themselves?
Did you say the new children?
Yes, children that are coming in, say, from like the late 90s all the way up. Are they understanding, you know, and coming in with the awareness already kind of turned on, so they understand what's going on, and it's an easier transformation or transition for them, and they really are here to help their parents and the people around them do the transition, or do they have a transition that they need to go through themselves?
The new children definitely do have more awareness than perhaps our generation and the much older generations. But, you know, from my own experience having, well, I've got four children. My eldest son was born in 1986, and seeing what he's had to go through, I think it's very challenging for them as well because of knowing what they know and having to deal with some very closed people, closed paradigms, which are still very much a part of their life. So I would say the children that came in around about that time, perhaps even as early as the mid-70s, they have had a really rough time. The children that have maybe come in during the 90s and on from there, it might be a little bit easier for them because a lot of the original Indigo children paved the way for them. But I have also seen and personally met some very, very powerful children who are fully conscious of who they are, who have chosen to integrate into families where either one or both of the parents are still what we can call sleeping star seeds. And it's very difficult for these children because they are being confronted with the old paradigm belief systems, and they are experiencing a completely different world. So they are literally living two paradigms at once. And I think the challenge for those children is not to lose themselves, and at the same time waking their parents up, so to speak. So it is easier for them, but I also don't think it is very easy, especially when you are juggling two paradigms and still trying to maintain that connection with your true self. Frankly, I don't know which is worse. Coming in when we did, when it was really closed, or the new children that are coming in and having to deal with both paradigms in such an intensive, with such intensity, basically. Looking at my own three youngest ones who have been, were born between 2000 and 2004, these children are incredible. And, you know, all their little friends and that, I mean, you can see just how full of life these children are. And they are, I would say, perhaps the most powerful teachers I've come across. But then again, also dealing with teachers and friends who do not have the same ideas. But what is so amazing is that these children have an incredibly powerful inner core, or should we call it a will. So they are able to really hold their own and set boundaries and maintain those boundaries, as opposed to swallowing their truth and keeping quiet for the sake of keeping the peace, which is probably what we did. That's, of course, I think some of us were also maybe beaten to submission, but that was part of our experience.
Well, it's very...
That's how I see it, Jane.
Oh, yeah, and I tend to agree. And the one thing I do want to say about the children today versus when we were growing up, at least they have somebody they can talk to who understands what they're going through. They do have some kind of a support system in an adult that is awake or becoming awake who can really gain some knowledge from them being open enough to hear what they're saying. Whereas for you and I, most likely, it was just closed doors and we're going, okay, we have this inner truth, we have this light we want to shine, and all they want to do is douse it out. And I think today's children do have that support, so I really think it's awesome to see their light and just to see them holding true to themselves. And they really are an inspiration to me to see those kids really holding their own. And I really admire them for being...
Sorry, Jane, you were breaking up at the start. Are you asking me what these children can do to support themselves?
That and just acknowledging that they do have support available. But what do you suggest they do to support themselves? So right now I'm talking to Michelle Eloff. If you'd like more information about Michelle, you can go to our website, thelightweaver.co.za. We're talking about the ascension and things that are coming in the energy to help us support, be true to ourselves, and making sure that we hold our own, even though not everybody might not like it. There is many things going on right now to help us understand all the lessons and all the pain, all the wounds that we have, in such a way that we can move forward and let go of those.
Well, yes, hi, Jane.
So basically we were talking on ways that children can support themselves. And what are you suggesting that kids today, or even people who are just awakening to figuring out their inner truth, what is some of the ways they can support themselves?
Hello?
Michelle?
Hi, Jane.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Okay, sorry. Can you repeat the question?
Certainly. What are you suggesting that children today, or even young adults who are waking up to their inner truth, to figuring out what's going on, how can they support themselves to keep in mind those boundaries that you were mentioning, to make sure they're able to do that? How do you suggest they do this? Michelle? We're having technical difficulties with Michelle Eloff. Again, we are talking about ways to help you support yourself through the ascension process. And Michelle made some really good comments and suggestions earlier about figuring out exactly what is going on with you, to write down the things you want in life, truly want, then figure out exactly why you don't think you have them. Then you can figure out those programs that have been within you to make sure you understand where you're coming from subconsciously and what is leading and what you're attracting within this. So with all the things that are going on, there is many, many things that people want and yet they're still lacking and they just don't understand. Most people have self-worth issues, and a lot of it is from their childhood. So it really is good to go back to your childhood and figure out what programming you got from your parents, from your siblings, from the people around you during that time. As Michelle said, up to 7 years old, that's when you're getting most of your programming. By the time you're 14, it's kind of cemented. So you need to go back and rewrite the programming within you. Now, we've had guests on here who can help you write the DNA. So the ascension process is really something that you need to do yourself, because everybody, as a life coach, I know this firsthand. It's really great if somebody can hand us the answer, but we really get it if we find it ourselves. That aha moment, like, wow, you know, I really get the fact that I set myself up for this and that and this lack, rejecting the opportunities or sabotaging myself by doing X, Y, and Z. When you figure it out yourself instead of somebody telling you, it makes a huge difference. So what I really suggest is life coaching can really help you figure those things out, but just journaling, writing down the things you want, figuring out exactly the pattern you usually have when sabotaging it. I myself have gone through this process, and it is amazing what I have learned by what I have learned when I was up to seven years old. For example, for myself, I figured out one reason why I had problems with my reading abilities and having learning disabilities, such as dyslexia, is because my mother, instead of spending time with me, she would read a book. So I realized I was sabotaging myself because I was resentful of the fact that my mother decided she'd rather read a book than spend time with me. That is my own issue. My mother needed time to herself. Everybody does. But it was my own issue that I needed to come to deal with. I now have my dyslexia. It's still around. It always will be, I think. But I know ways to adjust to it and recognize it a lot faster. I'm now enjoying reading, whereas before I dreaded it. So finding those little clues of what you're doing to yourself as children can truly make a difference. So I suggest that you take out a journal. You write down a list of everything you've ever wanted. Then on another piece of paper, looking at those things that are missing in your life, start listing all the reasons why you don't think you deserve it. All the patterns that you have, and think back to your memories, all the way back to your childhood, as best you can to see. Now remember, you have your highest guides and highest wisdom there to help you figure this out. I often ask before I go to sleep, okay, I know I have this pattern. Show me in a dream ways to overcome it, ways to make me figure out exactly how I'm sabotaging myself. They're really good at showing you. Just make sure at the end of that request, you ask to remember physically. A lot of times they'll give you the answer, and it's, again, self-conscious. So you want to make sure it's a conscious choice to understand exactly what all your patterns are. Your life is much better once you figure those out, because you recognize when you start doing it again, and you can stop yourself before it makes the same pattern again. So with all that is going on right now, understand a lot of us are feeling very tired, very confused. There's a lot of energy going on. So I suggest you just relax. Manual things such as cleaning your house, doing gardening, cleaning out your house in the clutter, will help you realize and lift up some of the things that are going in to jog those memories of the patterns that you have. By looking through the things that you're holding on to, you might recognize the things you're holding on subconsciously. So with that, I'm going to say I thank Michelle very much. Michelle Eloff is a wonderful channel. Again, if you want more information, and I highly recommend you read her channel. You really do get a healing just by reading it or listening it. Again, her website is thelightweaver.co.za. And if you would like to have help with life coaching and to help you just get a clue on which direction, I am a certified life coach. You can get in touch with me with angelsintuition.com or again at jen@jenniferhillman.com is my email. I'd be happy to help you figure out ways to help you process. There's a lot of things going on right now. You've got a lot of people around you to help you. But understand, the only one who can fix it and truly change you is you. And taking responsibility for yourself and finding that self-love is the best thing you can do. Every single person is truly awesome, beautiful, and full of the purest essence of love. We just need to recognize it in ourselves. And so with this is Jennifer Hellman for AIR. And next week, I do wanted to let you know I have an astropsychologist, Dr. Louis Turi, coming on. He has some very amazing, amazing, accurate readings that he does. And he will be on with some predictions. Until then, this is Jennifer Hellman saying be kind to yourself, find that self-love because you truly are an awesome spiritual being. With each breath of air, I hope you gain some insights and inspiration. Until next week, this is Jennifer Hellman wishing you well, many blessings, and good night.